pull up, get it. Live. Yeah. What's up? This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though. Right
here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else. Yeah. It's the Dola White Podcast.
Episode 98 now, the Dola White Podcast. My guest today, author of the new book, What Would Gen Z Do? Everything you need to know about Gen Z, everything you don't know about Gen Z, but should. Josh Lim, thank you for being here.
Hey, I am so excited to be with you. This is going to be fun.
All right. So I'm 44 years old now. And so I'm getting to the age where I don't do this because I've always tried to, because of my job in radio and stuff like that, I have to kind of, you know, stay tapped in with the youth a little bit more than most people. But I have friends who are constantly like, I don't understand these young people. They doing that. And I'm like, yo, like, it's crazy to be here because that's what we heard about our generation when I was growing up. But you wrote a whole book on this, basically.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm 51, so I hear you.
So you have friends, too, that are like, what's going on with these young people? And then you wrote a book like, hey, they're not bad.
You know what? I think the majority of adults, anyone over 25, is kind of asking, who are the Gen Zers? You know, who are the, you know, I think they think they're akin to Martians who just landed from outer space. And they really aren't. They're just such an amazing group of young people. And I really wanted to write this book to help put a face on them as a generation, as well as individuals.
Now, the first Gen Zers, they're now starting to get into the workforce. They're like 25. Is that right?
Yeah. So that's the beauty of this moment right now is Gen Zers span the age range from 10 to 25. Yeah. Elementary school to the first years in the workforce. What an amazing and rare moment in the history of any generation. So it's a perfect moment to look at who they are and get to know them.
So let's start with maybe misconceptions about Gen Zers. What are the things that people say that may or may not be true, but what is it that you hear that you're like, hold on, you know?
It is such a long list, but you know, some of the things on that list is, oh, these young kids, they're so weird and they're glued to their technology and they're rude and they're always sitting in the corner and they don't talk and they don't know how to communicate. And it's all about they don't know how to do this and they don't know how to do that. And what I have found is all of that is pretty much untrue. You know, all of that is pretty much untrue. And of course, you know, the millennials before them, I think, are the generation that had the most stereotypes and the most mud slung at them. And for the Gen Zers, some of that has come off on them. Mm. So in addition to carrying around their own stereotypes, they're also carrying around some of the leftover stereotypes from, you know, especially Snowflake. You know, and I'm like, Snowflake is so like 2000 late. Like that is right. Like such an old stereotype. But I, you know, the Gen Zers still get that. But I'll tell you what, the Gen Zers are really nothing like the stereotypes that people are slinging at them.
That does bring me to this because it does seem like you say Snowflake, people say that in a derogatory sense, like, oh, this person is sensitive or something like that. But I think with Gen Zers is they're not scared to feel, right? Like when I was growing up, we weren't allowed to feel. We had to be like tough and you put on a face and if something bad happens, you brush it off and you don't worry about it and you move on. But they're like, no, we're going to feel this. I'm upset and I'm going to be upset and it's okay for me to be upset.
Yeah. And that is, you know, really number one of like a trillion things that I love the most about them. Mm. And I really, when I say I'm their number one fan, I really mean it. And in fact, I tell Gen Zers all the time, if anyone's coming after you, they need to go through me first because I will always have your back. But it really is that intersection of Gen Zers and mental health that first drew me to them. Just simply by saying aloud words like anxiety, depression, suicide, I need help. I'm like, you guys, like, this is the biggest leap forward in mental health advocacy the world's ever seen. And it's already the most amazing gift that you all are giving to the world. And, you know, they all just kind of smile and nod their head very much because they're very modest and humble because this is just who they are, you know? And, you know, so then I've had the joy of getting to explain to them that for Gen Xers like me, you, their parents who are mostly Gen Xers, when we were their age, like you said, we weren't allowed to say, in fact, I don't even know that I knew those words, certainly not anxiety, which I certainly have and have now had for 51 years. And it's been an incredible journey with that. But we never heard those terms, let alone, you know, actually talk about them. And so that's why I just think they're doing so many incredible things in the world. And one of the reasons I wanted to write What Would Gen Z Do is to really start introducing to the world who these incredible young people are. Mm. And not, and it's certainly not that they're perfect. What I love, you know, let's say number two of the trillion things I love most about them is they are authentically imperfect. They wear their imperfections on their sleeve. And by doing that, they're emboldening the rest of us to talk about our own imperfections.
Yeah, I think them coming along when they did, especially for me, I just became a parent 5 years ago. I have a 5-year-old daughter, so I'm kind of late to the parent game, or later than a lot of people are, having a kid at 39 for the first time. But the way I parent now at 39 is so much different than I would have parented if I had a kid in my 20s or 30s or earlier 30s. And I think that's thanks to them, because they've come along with the mental health stuff, and it's okay to feel. And I think when I was a kid, if I was throwing a fit or a tantrum or having a meltdown or whatever, I was told to be quiet, or there's going to be a punishment, there's going to be something. And with my daughter, we hold her now, like, hey, it's okay. Like, you know, we hold her. And that wasn't a thing when I was a kid. And I don't think it was a thing up until probably now. And thanks to my wife for showing me this way of gentle parenting. But that kind of came along with the Gen Zers, I think.
Well, first of all, I can tell you're a really awesome and fun dad. So that's one lucky little girl. So kudos to you. There are so many great young parents out there, and I'm glad that you are one of them. For sure. And so, you know, I look at how they are now and I think, oh my gosh, when they're our age in their 40s and 50s, how much even more awesome will they be? And, you know, one of the things early on, so my journey started with Gen Zers about 5 years ago in my college classroom. I thought we were still in the land of the millennials, who I also really respected and liked, by the way. I'd never heard the term Gen Z. So one day in class, I referred to them as millennials, and not in a bad way, because again, I liked the millennials. And they were like, we're not millennials. And I was like, whoa, like, then who or what are you? And they're like, we're Gen Z. And I said, okay, I'm going to spend the next couple months of the semester getting to figure out what that means.
Right.
And boy, did I ever. And it was really about them speaking those words out loud. But it was also coming to understand that at ages 17, 18, and 19, even though they had gone through some really awful, tough challenges in their life, not necessarily any different than anyone else, right? But what made the difference is at ages 17, 18, and 19, they already knew that they could take those challenging experiences, process them, learn from them, and use them to make themselves stronger people.
Wow.
And to your point about, you know, being a different parent later in life than earlier on, I said, you guys, it has taken me over 4 decades to realize that I could take all the bad things that happened and actually use them to make myself stronger. And I'm glad I realized it, you know, later is better than never. But you guys already got that. You know it. And you know that it's not an easy thing, but you got to just keep moving forward and doing it.
Something we hear a lot of now is generational curses. And I think back in the day, people either repeated the cycles that, you know, the trauma that they went through as a child and passed it on to their kids, or they broke those cycles. Do you feel like Gen Z has more cycle breakers than, say, you know, other generations? Like they're saying, like, oh, I'm being abused at home. I'm having a horrible childhood. I'm not going to do this anymore. Whereas, you know, generations of the past, just they pass it along. They have.
Yeah. Look, I think only time can tell. Unfortunately, I don't have that crystal ball. But, you know, everything I have seen so far, I would say, you know, they're already groundbreaking in so many ways, especially when it comes to mental health, that I can only imagine them continuing that on into other aspects of their lives, you know, and they are such a sentimental, not snowflake, but very sentimental, compassionate, humble, and modest group of people. you know, in the media, we only see the sensational headlines, right?
Right.
And look, every generation, right? Ours, theirs, the baby boomers, always have those folks who are on the fringes of every spectrum you can think of, politics and social issues. And that's okay. That's okay. But they also get all the attention, right? But there are tens of millions of Gen Zers, as well as the rest of us in our own respective generations, who are on the middle, who aren't what the headlines proclaim. And even those headlines aren't completely accurate.
when are they ever?
Right. So, you know, I really am hoping with this book that, you know, all older adults, which in this case is anyone over 25, right? But all older adults, parents, grandparents, teachers, employers, managers and who work at companies will pick up this book. Also politicians, members of the media like yourself. That's why I applaud what you're doing here today by helping me to put this more authentic face on these young people. But I hope they'll come to this book or sit down with the Gen Zers who are around them and just have a conversation and realize, wow, like how often in life is something actually better than what it seems? Like the Gen Zers are better than what the headlines are saying. Like you will walk away amazed and inspired. And one of the things I really wanted to do with What Would Gen Z Do is make it an interactive book. So I do want readers to, you know, read the very short chapters. I wrote short chapters because none of us have long attention spans anymore. But at the end of every chapter, there are two reflection questions. One that I encourage the reader to ask themselves so they can kind of check in to see where they're at, to see maybe they're rocking the issue at hand, or maybe there's a little more work they have to do on that. But then there's a question that I want them to ask a Gen Zer, because I want those conversations to begin, because it's all about communicating back and forth. And even though, you know, I hope the reader walks away with a better understanding of Gen Z, I also want the reader to walk away with a better understanding of who they are. And hopefully this will be something that will make them a little better as a person.
We're slowly starting to see them swing elections now. They say the last midterms were largely swung because young people got out. And when I was young, I've voted in every election that I've been eligible to vote in. Having said that, my generation didn't show up much to the polls in our younger days. Are you seeing them care more than, say, we did?
Well, I think they have more access to the information. Mm. And they have more entry points for getting involved than we did. I mean, honestly,
we had to watch the news and we didn't. That was the only way.
Well, right. Look, when I was in high school, I bet I could not have even told you who the vice president was, which is really embarrassing to admit right now. Whereas high schoolers now, you can ask them about just about any global issue going on, and they can carry on a conversation with you about that. Yeah. I can do that, but they have access to that. And I do think they're legitimately interested. But I would also caution, you know, and again, I hope politicians everywhere from, you know, Washington to our city councils and town councils come to this book and read it to better understand the Gen Zers and who are in their constituents, because you can't assume who they are politically either. And I know the media loves to play that game.
Right.
Gen Zers are across the board. And really, you know, we see such a divisive nature right now, to say the least. But when it comes to Gen Zers, you can have the most amazing conversations with them, whether you agree with their politics or not. Now, for me as an educator, I made a decision a long time ago that I would never bring my opinions of politics into the classroom. And so even my closest friends don't know how I vote. It drives them crazy. But I'm like, no, I don't ever want that to be a shadow in any way. And so I love being able to cultivate those conversations in my classroom between students, and especially between students who disagree, who are on different sides of, say, the political spectrum or an issue. They're not like the media would have you think they're screaming at each other and throwing desks. Maybe like two of them like in every generation do that. Okay. I'll give you that. There's always someone, but for the most part, they're not. That they will have the conversations. And I think they even thrive on having a healthy, respectful conversation with someone who disagrees with them. So that's why I say to older adults, have the, you know, when people are like, oh, you can't talk about politics over the holidays. Well, first of all, like who wants to sit around a dinner table and talk about, even if you agree with it, it's like wah, wah. But don't use Gen Z as an excuse. Do not, because I'll tell you what, you bring up politics, and as long as you're not in their face, because none of us like that, right? They're going to have a respectful conversation, and they'll respectfully disagree or agree with you or whatever it is. But you can have those great conversations with them, and I hope people do.
Is this generation, I've heard this generation is less likely to be involved in organized religion. Have you found that to be true, or is that not something you looked at?
You know, I think that's another one of those things that the media loves to play with. Mm. And, you know, and I love, at one point or another, we all become lab rats, right? And I get it. That kind of research is important, but I read a lot of it because I want to stay up on what's being said. But a lot of it, I'm just like, did you really, like, how'd you get this information? Did you actually sit down and have a discussion? And I bet the answer is no. When it comes to religion, they're across the spectrum. You know, I've had students who are atheists, and I've met Gen Zers across the country, you know, when I sit down with them and when I travel, who are atheists. But I've also met a lot of Gen Zers who can quote Bible passages.
Right.
So it's another one of those areas. You can't put them into a box. But guess what? They can also sit down with someone of another faith or a faith that they really don't believe in. They can sit down with that person and have a really thoughtful and respectful conversation where everyone's going to walk away having learned something and being a better person for it.
All right. My last question before I let you out of here. I know you got somewhere to be, but being in management, I always hear that it's hard to manage Gen Zers, and I have a very small staff. So I, you know, it's not really an issue with me, but one, is that true? And two, what is the best way to kind of communicate in a work environment with a Gen Zer?
Well, I always love when I hear from, you know, folks who work in a business setting, they didn't even know how to answer the phone, or they didn't even know how to use the copy machine. And I'm always like, well, did you show them? You know, there was a point when I bet you didn't know how to use a computer. I didn't know how to use a computer. We had to learn. You know, they're only at age 25. When would they have used copy machines, or when would they have, like, right, answered phones professionally? Just like anything else, please show them. Don't use that as a, you know, a slant or to cast shade on them. And in terms of, you know, managing them and communicating with them, the key there is communicate with them. Mm-hmm. As an employer, a manager, a colleague, sit down with them and just talk about, you know, this is what the job is. What are your thoughts on the job? You know, what skills do you have that you think could be valuable? To have that back and forth dialogue. And because what I think you're going to find if you do that, because these young people have skills that are just unbelievable. And, you know, if we had more time, we'd talk about the gamers out there. And I bet you have a lot of gamers who are listening to this. And look, you know, I had Pac-Man and Atari, but I'm not a gamer. I always tell the Zers, if you want to beat someone every time, ask me to play with you. But what they've taught me is the incredible skill set that goes into playing those games and that they're learning from them. So if you have a gamer walk through the door, instead of being like, oh, you're rotting your brain all day playing those games, actually talk to them about the skills they're using. And I bet you're going to be like, I think we could use that here.
Right.
You know, your business is going to be better for it.
There you have it. John Slim, thank you so much. Let me remind everybody, Gen Z's music does not suck either, because I know that's something that gets passed down. Your music is awful. And, you know, you sound old when you say that. So, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
All right. I'm here. I'm still in the music business 25 years later. The book is What Would Gen Z Do? Thank you so much for taking time out and doing this, man.
Thanks a million to you too.
All right. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, John Slim. Make sure you check out his book and make sure you follow me on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Everything is the same at Dole White 101, DOLEWYTE 101. I know I took an extended holiday break. I needed it, but I'm back releasing weekly content now. So stay tapped in with me and make sure you're subscribed on all platforms. And while you're on those platforms, if you feel like rating and reviewing me, I definitely appreciate kind words only. If you got something negative to say, slide in my DMs or just don't say it at all, because I ain't really with that negativity shit. Anyway, back next week, brand new episode. Thank you for checking out the podcast.